Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week, it's no exaggeration to say that my guest is a radio legend. Many people in the audio industry say that the book Creating Powerful Radio is essential reading, and I have to say, I agree. The author of that book is journalist, talent coach, and mentor Valerie Geller, whose latest book, Beyond Powerful Radio, A Guide to the Digital World, is now on its third edition. So based on the title of her first bestseller, I asked Valerie, how do you make powerful radio?
Basically, the reason that book exists is because I made every mistake in the book, lost jobs, failed and failed and failed, and then figured out ways that were effective to really work, to get, keep, and grow audiences, to develop talent, to connect artistic people with salespeople, to disseminate creative process so that people who maybe were in the accounting department or were corporate managers could actually understand and listen back to a radio show so that they knew when it worked, but they didn't know why. And this book actually picks it apart and shows you the skeleton of what you need to do and what happens when a show is working and when a moment of radio is boring, what's happening there. And so that's the essence of it. And the core of the book, Georgie, is tell the truth, make it matter, and never be boring. And that never changes. And this new edition, which came out in 2025, includes the new stuff, podcasting, social media, multi-platform storytelling, podcasting, AI, all of it. And the old book was the basic stuff. So we mixed it together and it's all now in one big, huge 500-page sort of a cookbook for how to do it. The first book was how to develop talent, how to develop producers, what makes a show, the powerful radio principles detailed. If you do these things, you will have a successful show. Sales is from Mars, programming is from Venus, and ways to promote your radio station. Those were all things in the book. And also how to find subjects. Who is talent? You really can't teach talent, but you can teach broadcasting. And sometimes in radio, when we couldn't find professional broadcasters that we thought, you know, had that sparkle, that magic, that zip, what we would do sometimes is look to some of the other fields that are the communicator fields, therapists, writers, lawyers, politicians, priests, ministers, rabbis, occasionally the stand-up comedian, almost never an actor because they like to say other people's words. They don't have the motor inside to say their own. And they also sometimes don't have the courage to say their own. We made a list of 13 traits of what we look for in talent. And then there's a chapter on managing high ego, difficult talent. Because when you hire these people, they're cats with wild tails. You know, they're really hard to manage. And you have to know going in, if you need somebody to lead the parade and bring in these audiences, they're not your average duck. These are going to be very unusual, creative, deeply interesting, deeply complex people, and they're not always easy to manage. So the first book covered all of that. But here's what powerful radio is. It feels authentic. It either informs, entertains, inspires, persuades, or you just simply feel connected to another person. Like if you're alone in a room or alone in a car and you just feel isolated and maybe lonely and you push a black button and suddenly there's somebody talking to you. And the best presenters, even though you've never met them, you feel like you know them because they've given you enough authentic self-revelation so that you know them.
Radio has changed massively in the last 10 years.
Georgie, the world has changed.
The world has changed massively.
The entire planet Earth has changed.
And you mentioned there in the new book, Beyond Powerful Radio, which is the guide to the digital world, you've had to think about things like podcasting. Let's talk about that because that first book was Creating Powerful Radio, but now, and we've done this, we're no longer the Radio Academy, we're the Audio Academy. We've had to broaden our approach, widen that approach, change that name because it is audio now. And within that, I'll talking books and audio drama and a voiceover artist and anything where you're listening. But podcasting is now huge. So how has your approach to training since that first book changed because of podcasting?
Okay. First of all, podcasting is a new canvas. Not so new. It's 20 years old, 18 years old. Think of podcasting like this. You have a baby. You absolutely love this child. You're crazy about your kid. And then you have a second kid. These kids are different. They're both your children, but they're really different personalities and they have different needs and require different things. So if you can please think, if you work at a radio station and you don't think of, oh, I have to do the podcast or we have to post this, or so many people in radio looked at podcasting as this laborious extra thing they had to do, where the people who did really well with podcasting tended to be college kids who went, wow, this is fun. Look at this. Wow. I can make radio. I can do this, you know, and it became exciting and all kinds of new creative people came up through it. And they discovered things like, gee, it takes a really long time to edit. Well, duh, you know, yeah, this is really hard work, because the curse of our business always, Georgie, has been everyone can talk. So just everybody thinks it's so easy to do it. And, you know, I always say, oh, sure, just try it. You know, everybody's got three shows in them. It's that fourth show that's the killer. You don't have skills and craft and training and desire and experience and want to do this more than anything in the world. I love radio. For me, radio opened up the world. It has been my life's work, my purpose, and my passion. But the thing that I would counsel every single person, you can love radio, but radio does not love you back. And you have to do the work and you have to love people. People are what love you back. But let's go even deeper. Radio isn't radio. It's holding up a mirror to the human struggle that is life. And our job is to get listeners through every day. Podcasting is just another canvas. And when you look at YouTube, I mean, is it a podcast when your carbon monoxide or smoke alarm goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't know how to change the battery and you're the only one in the house and you turn on YouTube and there's this guy telling you how to change the battery in your specific model of the carbon monoxide detector you have? That's a podcast. I really think podcasts have added to our world. Now, there's like 8 billion of them, and there's a lot of slop out there. Just like crude oil, it has to be refined. We have to pick and choose and find the podcasts that speak to us. Broadcasting is very broad. It is for a mass audience. Podcasting is for a niche audience. And what podcasting is allowing us to do is create these micro communities, which aren't so micro because they're global. And also with AI, you can translate these things into any language. There's a lot of trepidation. There's a lot of fear. We hesitate when it's the new. You know, people are creatures of habit. And when something's new, we back off from it and we're a little bit like, ugh. And with podcasting, that happened, I think, with a lot of broadcasters who I hope are through that phase right now and onto the next phase of embracing podcasting. They say the only person who likes change is a wet baby. And I think it's true about human beings. You know, we are like that. We learn one dance step, we perfect it, and we want to just keep doing it. And now we have a new canvas. We have new colors to paint with. We have AI. We have social media to promote with so that we can get the word out to friends of friends of friends of friends and dip into networks that are way beyond any reach that a broadcasting signal could have or any one human being can have, when you can sprinkle it out into the helicopter universe of connections and links. I think in a lot of ways, podcasting, like all media, it's like fire. Social media, it can be used to warm you and it can be used to burn you. And we have to choose how we use it. We have to pick the shows we want to hear, pick the communities we want to be part of. Maybe sometimes they choose us. But overall, podcasting is another color in our paint box. And I say rejoice and embrace, but do it carefully.
Within those colors of podcasting, though, we now have video podcasting. You, I think, like me, are from an audio background. Well, you mentioned AI there as well, and you mentioned people being frightened of change. Yeah. They are overwhelmingly the two things, I think, that are changing rapidly, but are causing fear within the industry. What are your thoughts on both AI and is a video podcast a podcast?
Okay, of course, a video podcast is a podcast. It's not radio. It is a podcast with video. And again, thank God at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're changing your smoke alarm, that guy put video up. If he was describing it, I would be, you know, slitting my wrists, right? So thank God there's video. I think there's a time and a place for video. But here's something interesting. There was a study that showed that people were just as apt to listen to a podcast that just had something to look at. So you could put up some slides or, you know, some kind of animated thing. It didn't have to be two guys who looked like they slept under a bridge last night. And so you could just put up something to look. It could be your logo, you know, your logo, and then maybe the sunset, and then your logo again. And people would watch that and listen as much as if you had video. I think if you, especially if you use visual language, if you are using the language to describe things as you would in a wonderful audio piece, if you are using natural sound, as you would do in an audio piece. You don't need the video. Video is when you need to look at something. I mean, you know what? I want my surgeon who's learning a new procedure, I want video on that podcast with 100% of my heart and soul. I want my surgeon to be watching that video again and again and again when he's learning a new procedure. One of the beauties of radio is that it's the imagination medium. And the pictures in your mind are so powerful and it's so intimate. And I think we get distracted. One of the magical things that happens in radio, I sometimes get in trouble for talking about this, Georgie, but I'll discuss it because I think it's important. You can bust prejudice, because when you look at somebody, you see somebody that looks different from you, that when you listen to them, you hear their story. And when you hear their story, you open your heart in a different way than if you get your brain blocks them out because they're not like you. And we are so tribal that radio is one of the gifts we have to bust prejudice and allow understanding between people and connect communities. And we forget about that. The other thing about radio is that there's the magic of the imagination. Let's say, for example, if I want to tell you that there's a pink elephant, if I'm doing video, I have to actually find an elephant, Georgie. I have to paint it pink, and then I have to get it to stand still and take a picture. But if I'm talking to you on the radio, I can tell you that there's the pink elephant. And, oh, he's doing a little dance. And oh, look, he's floating in the air now. He's doing, you know, airlifts. You know, I could make him do anything. And that's the imagination. I think visual writing can do that as well. I mean, one time I was working with a producer's workshop and we had 12 people outside by the pool at a hotel because it was a beautiful day. And I asked each of the producers to write one sentence about what you're looking at. Describe the scene. I need you to make a movie so that the listener can see what you're looking at. And this is what the scene looked like. It was a big, huge hotel pool. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, very sunny. There were all these guys oiled up, you know, big bellies, oiled up with suntan oil, drinking beers. And all of a sudden, this incredibly gorgeous woman, I mean, perfect body, number 10 lady in a bikini, walks out onto the diving board, gets on the diving board and does a perfect swan dive into the water. And one of the producers wrote, 12 middle-aged men sucking in their guts. That's radio. That's what we can do that the video can't do. So if you love radio, make radio on your podcast. Just do it. Use the visual. Never be boring. Interview people you want to talk to. Shut off the camera. Never be pressured to use video ever, 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 ever. A lot of times when I'm doing air check sessions and all day long, the real work I do, although I do a lot of speaking at conferences and workshops with people, the heart and soul of my career and my business is working one-on-one, coaching talent, on-air personalities, presenters, producers, news directors, news journalists. And when I do that, I often just turn off the video if we're on a Zoom call because I need to listen. And if I'm looking, my brain's distracted. But if I'm listening, I can hear every little thing just like the audience would. And I think it's very powerful. So I think both sit side by side. There's a place for both. But you should never feel that you have to use video. I think there are people who are excited about it. With one of these, all you have to do is hit push, you know, and you can make video. It's here. It's just how good is it going to be? And is it going to further your story? Is it going to help you? My whole life is about get, keep, and grow audiences. Will this piece of video help you grow an audience? And is it interesting enough? And is it equal to the audio? And does the audio need it? So I think those are good questions to ask. But there's no rules about podcasting. It's the Wild West. You can do whatever you want.
You mentioned there your work that you do now, and that brings me nicely to your journey into radio, how it started, and your training and mentoring journey. So take me right back, Valerie, to how radio came into your life and the work that you do.
It's really kind of a, like a lot of people, I was a little kid listening to radio. And when I was 7 years old, I called my first talkback show. The man on the air was kind of a nasty man. I'd never heard such a rude man. And he was talking about how you should never take children to the restaurant because they make so much noise, they bother people. And I got really angry. And it was at night and my parents were asleep. And I remember going down the hall because we had the phone wired into the wall. And I took the phone and I called the number they were giving out on the radio. I had a little transistor radio. And I said, now look, when you're little, everybody tells you when to go to bed, what to eat, what to wear, who to play with, when to go to school, when to go to church. Everything in your life is told to you. You don't have any power as a child. The only thing you can do when you're little is make noise. So please, sir, leave us alone and let us make the noise we need to make. And he said, kid, you can call my show anytime. And I became like a kid caller on the Joe Pyne Show in Los Angeles, where I grew up. And that's how it started for me. And I never knew you could get a job doing this, or there was work to be had doing this. I ended up in journalism, and as a writer, ended up doing stories about radio. And because of that, got into hosting a show and then producing and then moving around the country and working various jobs on air, talkback host, talkback producer, news director, news journalist, news reporter. I sat on the board of the Associated Press, basically because I complained so much. They made so many mistakes, and I would call them every day going, you missed the lead. You're writing for newspapers. And so they put me on their board. You know, yeah, you complain so much, you fix it, lady. And that's pretty much what happened. I ended up on that board. I ended up on radio and TV news director's board. I consulted Reuters and had a very deep journalism. I really believe information is power. Correct information is power. And especially, and I don't want to go into the political black hole here, but what's going on in America is so frightening to me with journalism. I mean, ironically, I've been invited to go speak in Hungary, where suddenly there is a more open time in that country. There's been a regime change. But in America, we are becoming smaller and smaller and doing away with a lot of credible journalism. And that is frightening to me. So it's made me double down and understand even more the importance for credible, which is an issue with AI, credible news, credible people on the air who are telling truthful stories, authentic but truthful stories. The other thing I do is train presenters, because I got into it when I was working mostly with news and talkback. And here in the UK, I was one of the initial consultants to help train the people at LBC, James O'Brien and Clive Bull and those guys. And it was a wonderful experience, and it was a successful project. Then I went to the BBC and went all around your country and, you know, BBC Sheffield and Radio Leeds and, you know, Nottingham and all over, and got to see the country and meet the presenters and producers and news people, and really shifted them into, here are some techniques to engage that you guys at BBC haven't been employing, but if you do try these things, you will get keep and grow audiences, and the numbers went up of listening. These methods really work. Using you instead of I. Keep it personal, but not private. So instead of, for example, I have 5 tickets to give away, it becomes you have 5 chances to win. Instead of I'm talking with Georgie about radio in the world, it becomes if you're interested in radio in the world, in a moment, you will meet Georgie and hear that conversation. You know, you make everything from what we have to give, flip it around to what you, the audience, gets, what you, that one listener, gets. Always talk to one listener at a time, and then close your eyes and describe it visually. And that will kick in some of your visual descriptive language and makes it easier. And so if you can just employ some of these tricks, the radio gets better. If you become more engaging and listeners come to you and they stay longer. And by the way, they don't really care if it's radio or a podcast. They just care that it's good. Is it relevant? Does it matter? How does it matter for me? What's in it for me? Do I understand this? Is it in context? Do I know this person? Does it make me laugh? Did I learn something? Am I entertained? Did the time go fast? And that's a lot of what we do in the air check sessions. If it feels long, guess what? It's boring. Never be boring. Never, ever be boring.
What excites you about the radio and audio industry now? And what do you think will be the next big thing?
It's interesting. I'm asked this a lot, and I don't have a crystal ball, because I know that from the beginning of time, humans have been story junkies. We love stories. We can never get enough good stories. And stories are how we learn and connect. I think that whatever the delivery system, we're going to still need and love and want stories to connect us. Humans are tribal. We need to be part of tribe. And they say the happy life is someone to love, something to do, something to hope for, and something to believe in. And radio helps you find those things and directs you and gives you those things, because that's what a healthy human is. And healthy humans are tribal, and we need others. We need our pack. Radio gives us our pack in this isolated, crazy world. What's different now is attention span. What's different between now and 20 years ago? Attention span was 10 seconds 20 years ago. Now it's 3 to 5 seconds. That's all you've got to engage the audience. Really make sure that every time you open the microphone, you're answering the question, why should I listen to this? Or here's why you need to listen to this. And then whatever you say next, that should be your opener. I worked at Wandsworth Prison. They have a prison radio station called Radio Wano. It's fantastic. It's inmates who run a radio station. And they asked me to come in and do a training. One of the pieces of audio that was a promo said, "When I am working at the radio station and I am doing radio, I forget I'm in prison." And to me, that was the moment where I just thought, this is a great day to hear that one sentence. That radio, making it, listening to it, can transport you. It can change you. It can open your world.
You've been, you mentioned that you've been working with Prison Radio Association. Also, you're off to the Community Radio Conference. You've been working with Bauer. Tell me about these projects and what you're working on next.
You know, it's all the same thing. How to, we don't even call it air checking. We call it polishing the diamond. Just figure everybody's good. Now, how do we get better? What are little tips and techniques we can do to just polish your edges to make you sparkle more? The common theme is that people are doing too much because of consolidation, and it's across the board, whether it's BBC, commercial, prison, community, they're strung so tight with so much to do. Time management, do one thing at a time. You know, all that talk about being able to multitask, it's actually BS. It's not true. You do one thing at a time, finish it, do the next thing. And that's how we do our best. Make a list of priorities of what's important. I see a lot of people who are burned out where the joy has gone out of this work. And that breaks my heart. We got into it because it made us happy and there was nothing else on earth we wanted to do. And people felt like, if I can make a living playing music and talking to people and making parties and gatherings and live events and going to concerts, what a great life. They sometimes forget that they're sometimes a really bright spot in somebody's life. What every single person that I'm one-on-one air check coaching and every single radio station I'm walking into, whether it's prison or Bauer, my mantra is think about the audience, think listener, make everything you do about the listener. You are making an audio meal for this listener. Make it a Michelin star. Make it your best thing, that the best of you. Use generator reactor. If you're reactive talent, find generators. If you're generative talent, find reactors so that you are your best, so that you're completely in power. Get help when you need it. And on days when you're low, light your fires at other fires so that you do not show the audience that you are low, because they can't have you low. They're looking to you to help them. Tell the truth, make it matter, never be boring is really the essence of it.
Valerie, it's been amazing talking to you. It's like having a one-to-one masterclass. I've got one last question for you.
Yeah.
Why do you love radio?
Why do you love anything? When you walk into a room and you feel at home, why do you fall in love with your partner? You walk into a room and that person is home, and they say, and it's true, choose radio as you would choose a marriage partner, not because you can live with it, but because you can't live without it.
They don't really care if it's radio or a podcast. They just care that it's good. If I take one thing away from that conversation, it'll be that. But there were so many gems in there. A huge thank you to Valerie Geller for being my guest. Her session at the festival last September was one of our most popular. And if you're a member, you can watch it on our website. Go to learningresourcesaudioacademy.org.uk. We have a special 30% discount code for Audio Academy members for Valerie's book, Beyond Powerful Radio, A Guide to the Digital World. So go to the Members Offers tab on our website. Nikita Kanda from BBC Asian Network will be in conversation with Lauren Redfern from BBC Radio 1 Anthems at our Birmingham Social on the 1st of July. It's free for members and just £4 for non-members. You can book your ticket at audioacademy.org.uk/events. And while you're there, check out our other events at Crossed Wires in Sheffield and in London. Next week, as we launch 30 Under 30 for 2026, I chat with two people whose careers have gone from strength to strength since being part of a 30 Under 30 alumni. I'll see you next week.